Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you, Pete, and welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. As Pete told you, Landon Collins is on the show today at 1:20. Please spread the word. We are pleased to go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline right now and welcome onto the show a terrific guest who's super smart, played here in Washington with the Redskins for a couple of years in the secondary, and was very analytical and I thought helpful in making sense of the Landon Collins move on Twitter in the wake of the Redskins' agreement with the Giants' former captain. So we wanted to have him on the show. Will Blackman is with us. Will, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. A 12-year veteran, a former Super Bowl champion with the Giants. Happy to have you aboard, buddy. Let's start with Landon Collins as a player. When you watch the film of him, when you look back at his career, what do you see?
First of all, thank you for saying I'm super smart. I really appreciate that.
I thought it was an accurate assessment.
We happen to think that. Maybe you fooled us. I don't know, buddy.
No, man. No, there are a lot of people that fool you. When it comes down to Landon, it's interesting. I get the whole, you know, people say box safety because he has had a lot of success closer to the line of scrimmage. I agree. However, the year 2016, when he was up for possibly defensive player of the year, he did pretty much everything. And that was the transition, you know, from his rookie year. He did play more free safety. You know, it's kind of like when you get that your safety that you finally needed in the secondary, he's a rookie, you kind of just put him back there. They did have a bunch of veterans. I know they had Merriweather playing the opposite safety, and he, you know, was more familiar with adjustments and all that. And then second year, even Coach Spagnuolo said, like, hey, you know, now this is the year for Landon to take a lot of load of the defense, and I'm going to allow him to move freely and communicate and make a lot of adjustments. You've seen that already in year two. And then, things have changed. Last year, right, he did play most of his snaps close to the line of scrimmage, but because they also had Curtis Riley, who was – he had some range. He had four interceptions. However, the issue with Riley was his tackling. I think he was he probably was second for most missed tackles. So, yeah, you don't want to put him close to the box, meaning that he could be a liability tackling. So that's where Landon was better suited. But once again, Landon can play anywhere, and that's the point I was trying to get across, is that Landon is a very versatile safety. Yes, he's very, very good in the box, but he can play anywhere.
And that's the thing. I know it's a couple plays here or there, but when you watch some of the PBUs and the plays where he ball hawks and picks a pass off, he seemed comfortable in space. I wonder what you make of people saying he got overpaid. Obviously, the $84 million figure was nonsense, and you know how football contracts work. You're never going to see that money. Essentially, it's, you know, $30-plus million over the first couple of years and close to $40-plus million over the first 3 years. Do you think he's the type of impact player defensively who can warrant that type of payday?
There's a couple of factors. One, you know, he's a first-round pick. So first-round picks who end up playing to their potential, they're going to get paid regardless. And also another thing people have to consider is the Redskins weren't the only team offering him money. I mean, there were several bidders, and that's how it works in free agency. When you have multiple offers from certain teams, and yeah, the winner, you know, is going to go to the highest bidder, and that's kind of what it was. That was the same when we got Josh Newman. When the Panthers let him walk, I mean, the Redskins weren't the only team that called him. You know, so everybody fought for it. To, you know, the highest bidder is going to win. So that's what it was. I think it was definitely something that the Redskins needed was especially a leader back there who can make a lot of plays. And Swearinger, you know, he did make a lot of plays and he did have leadership skills. The issue is whether the team accepted it or not, and clearly they didn't accept it. I think it's money well spent, especially you see what's going around the league. It's not like they were, oh, we're desperate. We need to get this guy. They signed him before they signed anybody else. So that clearly this lets you know that this was their guy. They faced him twice a year. And also, he gets to join the rest of his Bama North teammates.
At Will Blackman on Twitter. Do what I've done and follow him. Great information, great football analyst. 12-year NFL vet with us here.
I just have fun. I just have fun on there.
No, you do a good
job.
That's
a good account.
I promote it. That's why I threw it out there.
Yeah, I just like to laugh. That's it. No drama.
What is the big perception is, I watch the NFL Network and I'm watching some of these other shows, and then it's, as kind of Grant alluded to, it's an awful lot of money for an in-the-box safety. And I'm with you. I think that dude's a baller. I think Landon Collins is a star, and I think the Giants screwed the pooch on this one. What is the public just kind of specifically getting wrong about Landon Collins? I mean, obviously that he's more rangy than just an in-the-box guy, but specifically, what can he do that people aren't giving him credit for?
The one thing about him is that he's very, very athletic. You know, when people say box safety, or the consensus when you say box safety, it's like, okay, he's like this, you know, big safety who's really stiff, who doesn't have great ball skills. He's basically like a hybrid linebacker. That's the consensus of a box safety. That's what people think of guys who just line up in the box and that's all they can do. And that's not the case with him. I think he's just very athletic. It was just based on what the Giants needed him to do defensively. His skills at the time were best suited to be close to the line to stop the run. Because, right, he can tackle like a linebacker, and he can cover, you know, like a free safety when needed. You got to put your players in best position. I mentioned yesterday when I was talking to JP and those guys that when I was there playing safety, they would put Duke and Nacho in the box sometimes. You know, whoever, and, you know, sometimes they would put, Deshaun Golston in a box sometimes. And I would go back and play free safety because they thought I was better suited to be back there and play the field and try to take away the deep ball. And, yeah, when I was there, I can't remember. There's probably like one, I think I gave up like one deep ball playing free safety that was on me. You know, other than that, you know, I think I did a pretty good job covering the net back there, making sure there weren't any home runs that got hit on us. So,
Will, you'll actually find this funny, I think, or maybe you'll hate me. I don't know. I had you listed. So I did this piece for The Athletic where I ranked the 29 guys who have started a game at safety for the Redskins since Sean Taylor passed in 2007. So 12 years they've been searching for a safety. And obviously you and D. Hall are a couple guys on this list who were mostly corners who got kind of thrown into the safety position. But you cracked the top 17 on the 29 list in like a couple games in terms of biggest impact.
No, I appreciate that. My first year at safety and I'm at 17. You kidding me? I definitely appreciate that. That, you know, though, that what was frustrating about that is I felt like going into 2017, like, okay, you know, now we have Coach Torian Gray, who is, you know, insanely smart in terms of like technique and coverages. Like, I learned so much from him in training camp that I was so ready to like really take off at safety that year. I thought like that was going to be it. And then I thought, you know, me playing with DJ Swearinger was going to be really good because, you know, I thought I was the one guy who studied super hard and knew a lot of football. And he's very, very, very smart in terms of what he knows football wise too. And I thought, especially me being there, I knew I got along with everybody, and I felt like I knew how to manage all kinds of personalities. It was bigger than just the field. It was just me getting along and helping and not only help mentor guys, but learn from other guys too, and to pretty much keep some really good chemistry back there. I was really excited for 17. So I think if I played that season, I would have been higher on your list. But for that, I'll take that.
Being on the inside of it before it all kind of came to a head, are you surprised with how the DJ Swearinger thing ended? He was incredible for a year and a half, and then he was released before the end of his second season. He and Minuski did not see eye to eye.
No, I wasn't surprised because when I first saw the news come out about him criticizing play calls and stuff like that, I was like, man, that's, I understand, like, yes, you want to use your voice, you want to be vocal, you know, you want to be authentic, but you have to kind of pick and choose where you do that. I feel like in that situation, if you had an issue with whatever was being called, then continue to kind of hash it out in-house. And I knew once something like that got out to the public, you know, teams don't want to deal with that. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are, you will be traded, you will be released. And as you've seen already, you know, we already had two, you know, I think top three receivers get traded already. whether it was financially or whether it was personality wise. Teams just want to be gone and not deal with it anymore.
Well, you're the best, buddy. I always appreciate the time. Great insight as usual, my friend. Keep it up.
No, anytime.
Thank you, buddy.
Will Blackman on Grant and Danny. Enjoy having him on the show. We got to do it more regularly. He's sharp. Landon Collins is on the show today at 1:20. So it was good getting some insight on Collins from Blackman. How about some enlightening answers on Collins from Collins? We'll do that in the 1 o'clock hour as he will join us before he's introduced to the D.C. media at 2 o'clock. Next, the Redskins are still courting Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who's also talking to the Chicago Bears. Should they consider bringing him back?
Let's go Bears.
But first, quarterback market. Jags cutting Blake Bortles. Teddy Bridgewater on his way to Miami, perhaps? We'll break it down.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's back. He steps up. He is going deep. And it is caught by Alshon Jeffrey for a touchdown.
Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Nick Foles is a Jacksonville Jaguar. We'll get into that in a second. Today is the day after free agency day.
Doc.
Yesterday was supposed to have been one of the great days on the calendar. It was taken from us.
You ride hard for this.
I'm so upset.
I'm fine with piecemeal news coming out of a steady stream so I can digest everything. You want that. You want the truck backed up.
Yep.
And to sit there with your arms out like Andy Dufresne escaping from 6 miles, five football fields.
I want a free agency frenzy. I want news dumped on me all at once. I want to bask in it.
You want to do the ALS ice bucket challenge of news?
I do. I went to Yard House like I do every year, even though there wasn't a lot going on. I got there yesterday at about 2:45. I left at about 6 o'clock. I sat at the very end of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I had three friends come by with me.
Did you try the Hawaiian chicken? Is that what you had there?
It's very funny. Very frustrating. Take a guess at what I ordered yesterday.
The Maui pineapple chicken.
Wrong. Set you up for failure.
You ordered grilled wings.
They don't do grilled wings at Yard House. Tommy, want wings? No. Well, you know that I always get the chicken lettuce wraps.
Oh, you do that, yes.
So when I first got there, I put in an order of chicken lettuce wraps.
Mm-hmm.
They came out a little bit after 3.
Mm-hmm.
About an hour and a half later, I put in an order of deviled eggs.
Dude.
Clutch play.
I didn't know you did deviled eggs.
What do you mean I don't do deviled eggs? I love deviled eggs.
Well, they're delicious and they have flavor. I thought you would hate that.
The deviled eggs come with a small piece of bacon right on the top.
Right on the top.
They're great. So they've come as a 4-pack. I gave 2 of them away to the 2 people to my right.
Wow.
I ate 2 of them. So I had 2 deviled eggs. Just a little taste. And then before I left, it was time for the entree at right around 5:30 or so.
All right.
What do you think I got as my entree?
It wasn't Maui pineapple chicken?
It wasn't. I've gotten Maui pineapple chicken, I would say, 98% of the times I've been there.
98 degrees of the time.
I'm really trying to be good this week on the EMP 180 program, and that is not EMP 180 friendly because it's marinated.
Oh, because there's delicious sauce.
So I was a little bit healthier than that. What do you think I did?
You got a steak of some kind?
I got a burger patty in lettuce wrap form.
Yeah.
However, lamb burger. It was outstanding.
People don't like this about me. I generally don't do the lamb, like a lamb chop. Everyone thinks it's like the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, I'm not that excited about it. I had a ground lamb situation not that long ago. And I went, wait a minute, was I wrong this whole time?
So because it was delicious. I told you were wrong about lamb a long time ago and you scoffed at me.
No, I know I'm weird about this. My wife gets angry at me about this.
You're incorrect.
You got
about
mad
lamb.
About this. I don't get steamed up for a lamb chop.
Lamb
I've never
is
liked
delicious.
It that much.
I'll eat lamb chops until the cows come home. Or the lambs come home, I guess is probably
because
a better
they could
saying.
Have returned
because
after,
then they'll return back to see why I ate their
friend. Like, I'm not a I feel like a dog gnawing on a bone when I'm doing a lamb chop.
It doesn't have to be a lamb chop. Because lamb comes in so many forms, so many shapes, sizes, mm-hmm. and variations. I loved the lamb burger. Here's what's going to shock you though. It comes with like some type of jalapeno situation, and it's a pretty spicy burger.
Yeah, it's a jalapeno relish with like a feta cheese spread on top. So you get the feta, and then you have like this really hot onion jalapeno relish on top.
Yeah.
It's a kick. And you would think I would hate it.
I was sure you would hate it.
Now, I accidentally ordered it the first time I got it because my brother was with me, who's on EMP as well. Mm-hmm. I got there fully intending to go Maui Pineapple Chicken. But he's been killing it on the program, and he went with the lamb burger on lettuce. And I said, you know what? That doesn't sound bad. I'll try that. And it was a little bit hotter than I prefer, but it was just so good and
so
delicious
flavorful
that it was worth being burned up a little bit.
Worth the spice.
So yesterday when I was ordering it, I said, do I go back to the well on the jalapeno? Do
Look
I say a little less spice? I just stuck with the script.
Look at my guy.
So that's what I ate yesterday.
Eating spicy foods.
And I watched some of the news trickle in.
My man in his 30s over here, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Spicy foods Paulson. They don't call me that for no reason. Jags cutting Bortles, no-brainer. Here's all I can think about, though. There are still people who have their jobs that decided to re-up with him this past offseason. You realize they have to eat. Isn't it like $18 million in dead money?
I don't know the exact number, but that caught me. That made me laugh.
Blake Bortles started 13 games this past season, 2,700 yards, 13 touchdowns, 11 picks. He is so bad that they decided to play Cody Kessler over him multiple times. That's how bad he is, including when they played the Redskins in December. He will not start again full-time in the NFL. I just can't see it. I think he will go the way of Tyrod Taylor, which is he could be, you know, the 30th best starter. But the teams that need quarterbacks have quarterbacks that are on their first or second year that haven't proven if they're good or not yet, or have quarterbacks that they're committed to like Andy Dalton, where you wouldn't be upgrading from them anyway.
It's a good point, though, about him not being a full-time starter again, because you kind of forecast these guys out. I think when you're a high draft pick and there's a stank on you like this, you don't get the chance again. You know what I mean? It may be not even fair, because who knows if he improves a ton, he may not get the opportunity again. But think about this. A AFC title contender, and then it goes into the toilet, and everybody pretty much universally blames him and how much he stinks. And everyone in the industry knew that you shouldn't re-up with him, and they did. He's now got that on him. Like it's like the BO with Jerry's car in Seinfeld, where he has to get rid of the car. It's basically like that. He'll never be not that. Same way Sanchez will never be nothing but the butt fumble. Now, he can't play, but that's what people are going to remember forever.
Right.
People are going to remember about Bortles forever. In 5 years, if he's on somebody's roster, that's the guy that took an AFC title team into the toilet because he's so bad.
And somehow also got to an AFC title game.
That's the other part of
that. That's the thing you just can't forget about him. The Chargers gave Tyrod Taylor 2 years, $11 million. Six in guarantees to be Phil Rivers' backup.
Think about how much more that costs than what the Redskins are paying Case Keenum, just in terms of a deal.
Well, one's starting and the other's a backup.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what makes that deal so awesome for the Redskins, where it's like, if you want to go out of the marketplace and find a quarterback that's a Jag just to be a backup, you've got to pay more than they're going to pay Case Keenum to compete to be a starter. Now, Keenum's not any good, but neither is Tyrod Taylor.
Well, that's what I wonder about, is specific to Bortles. Does he still get one more contract where he might get a chance to start? You know, do you pay him like $10 million this year, $11 million, or is he just automatically into that $5, $6 million backup range? Because think about it. Tyrod Taylor got one more crack at it.
Mm-hmm.
Left Buffalo, went to Cleveland, was the starter at least for a couple of weeks there before Baker Mayfield took over. But he's now into the backup QB bucket. The other guy of interest here is Teddy Bridgewater, who visited the Miami Dolphins. Everyone thought he was staying in New Orleans. Then the Dolphins came calling. I have to imagine he ends up going there. That's the only opening right now for a starter in the league. Depending on what happens with Tannehill, that's the one spot where you can sign to start. It's the only place. Like, if Bortles wanted to start, where else? I went through the 32 teams with my buddies at the bar yesterday, and look, a lot of teams have bad quarterbacks, but most of those guys are coming off bad years. Rosen, Allen, Darnold. Where
or they're rookies. You're not giving up on them yet.
We considered committed. Mm-hmm. They're committed to a QB. You can't start there.
Right.
Then there are guys that you might move on from, but are you really doing better than Andy Dalton with Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater? No, it's basically the exact same guy. Are you going to leave a plan in place that you've had for years with Dalton to go elsewhere? Now, you do have a new head coach, so you'd be starting from scratch. But Bridgewater to Miami makes some sense for me.
It does. I saw also what's going on with New Orleans. They did a weird move with Drew Brees' cap figure. So he had a huge cap figure coming into the season. They restructured it to lower that figure $10 million. Next year, regardless of what happens, they've got a dead cap hit of over $20 million, even if he plays.
Yeah.
It's a weird structure. Drew Brees will cost the New Orleans Saints, if he does play next year, $41 million. That's his cap hit.
If he doesn't regress, he's probably worth it.
Well, they're basically moving all their chips into this is the last ride this year for the New Orleans Saints. You know, they try to get a little extra room to
try
to supplement.
One more time.
Yeah, so thinking about maybe Bridgewater going there, who knows?
It will feel like a waste. In the same way that I say with Aaron Rodgers, if he wins one Super Bowl, while no one can ever take that away from you, it'll feel like his career was largely wasted. That guy should have won 2, 3, 4 as good as he was. You could say the same thing about Drew Brees, so I get why they're doing what they're doing. Real quick, would you rather have Keenum or Bridgewater if everything was equal? Because I was always told those were the two veterans the Redskins were looking
so
at.
So money's equal?
Yeah.
I'm Bridgewater slightly over Keenum.
Me too. I think he would have costed more, and that's why they went Keenum.
Yeah, so but you added cost to it? Give me what they did with Keenum 100%.
Haha, Clinton Dix. Is it the Redskins? Is it the Bears? Could it be a mystery team? How hard should they work to bring him back? We'll discuss it next on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7, The Fan at 11:45, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. At noon, we're going blitzing all around the Beltway. 12:18, we could start to play some of the audio we've got from yesterday's press conferences. Antonio Brown was introduced to the Raiders media. Dave Gettleman says the Giants have a plan. I love that when that's a headline to any kind of a story.
There's a plan, you guys. We're good.
Just so everybody knows, we do have a plan here. That's refreshing.
Well, so the plan changed from just a few months ago. Again, trading Odell Beckham, if that was the plan coherently 6, 7 months ago, whatever it was, before you gave him this huge amount of money that you're going to eat now, by the way, it's actually very reasonable. If you're going to stink on your own terms. Do what the Raiders are doing. Do what the Browns did, and now they're in a great position. Reboot. Start over. They're kind of not doing that.
If they'd done a different thing at quarterback, I think what they've been heading toward this offseason would all make sense, to be honest with you. It's just that there's this one move they haven't made yet that makes none of this make sense. My guess is they're going to get Dwayne Haskins. They're going to draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to say, oh, okay, they really are actually rebuilding, even though they didn't want to admit it. But it's been a bad offseason for Dave Gettleman. You read through the entire Bill Barnwell piece, kind of chapter and verse yesterday, and one move after another makes you kind of scratch your head and go, what is he doing?
What is the plan?
But before we get to our double play and the Beltway Blitz, a chance to talk about the one other item on the Redskins front that we haven't hit yet, which is they were negotiating with Clinton Dix yesterday. Clinton Dix and the team, a couple of people reporting, could have been closing in on a deal. Turns out that he has flown to Chicago to meet with the Bears. You remember Rich Campbell, who covered the Redskins here?
Of course.
He texted me last night, and he said, how was Clinton Dix in Washington? What do you think I said?
Absolutely awful.
I'll just read you the conversation.
Please read it back and forth. This is an exchange, dramatic reading, Grant Paulson, Rich Campbell, last night.
Yo, dude, what did you think of Clinton Dix? My answer, he was really bad. His response, I don't think he was talking about the player. I think he was laughing
amused
at what I
said.
That
was an amusement. It wasn't just repeating the name of the person.
I said, but he did come halfway through the year and was learning the defense. I think there's a lot of upside there. Then I pointed out that he was very slow and he took bad angles. I don't know how much that gets fixed with more time in a system. I'm not really sure. Green Bay having given him up for nothing is what worries me. Now, here's the difference between you and me on Clinton Dix.
Uh-huh.
You have decided that you don't want to see him here no matter what.
Correct.
He could sign for the veteran minimum for the next 3 seasons, and you would say no thank you.
He could pay the Redskins, and I would say no thank you.
Which is funny and hyperbolic, but while I am not high on what he'll be if they do re-sign him, I know that he made a Pro Bowl and he was a first-round pick and he went to Alabama and he's got talent. So I'm assuming there's something there. I've seen it in the NFL before that maybe you could recapture. I think playing with Landon Collins will only help him. The more talent around you defensively, the better. If they could get him at a favorable contract, I would do it because they still don't have a starter there. You can't draft starters at every position. They don't have enough picks. So it's either him or somebody else like him. And the fact that he was here last year in your system, that he's good buddies with a bunch of the guys on this defense, that he wants to be here, all of that leads to me saying I'd be willing to re-sign him at the right price. I'm not going to pay him a lot of money, though. I can promise you that.
A guy taking terrible angles isn't about knowing the defense. A guy running towards a player at a bad trajectory and having that player then run past him has nothing to do with where he's supposed to be in terms of defensively. I understand the learning the system thing.
Yeah, but you could say he just was never comfortable. He was kind of chasing his tail the entire season, trying to get up to speed, and that hurt his play, including in-play reactions and things like that.
That is a legitimate interpretation. That would be the glass half full. The glass half empty is every word that the guy we had on from the Green Bay Packers, who covers the Packers, said about Ha Clinton Dix came to fruition here in Washington, which wasn't about knowing the system. It was about a player that isn't very good. And for a team that has a first-round pick, who is still at that point, by the way, alive in the playoff hunt in Green Bay, to trade him for spittle, a fourth-rounder, some chewing gum, doesn't speak highly of the player. So hoping that the Redskins found the gem, which, again, I was worth a shot to me,
but
maybe
no
a change of scenery.
That was what I said after the trade, like we all did.
Yeah.
Maybe they could unearth the gem here. That's not a thing anymore.
Right.
I'm just saying you don't need the best safety on your team. You need a passable NFL safety to pair with Landon Collins.
Sure.
The bar has been lowered considerably.
To me, there are just too many safeties that I didn't see play terribly for the Redskins that are just out there lingering. That if you want somebody cheap, George Iloka, who played in Cincinnati, Trey Boston, Deshaun Gibson just signed with Houston, actually got a pretty decent amount of money. But the safety market is rich. There are plenty of guys that weren't terrible for the Redskins last year.
George Iloka was a backup last year, though. Didn't even start.
No, I'm not saying he's a great player, but yeah. if you're in the market for not a great player at safety to go with a great player in Landon Collins, there's plenty of guys. You could refute my specific example, and you're right, by the way. Iloka isn't particularly good. For me personally, I'm not getting back in the business with somebody that I have seen be terrible.
You get what I'm saying, though, which is, your bias toward Clinton Dix is you saw him be bad for your team.
Mm-hmm.
The other guys you'd advocate for signing over him, people sitting in your seat in those markets are saying the same thing about them.
But they weren't also shipped out by their original team who could keep him at a pretty reasonable contract with a fifth-year option. They weren't given a first-round pick was given up on by the Green Bay Packers. They said, get this guy out of our building while we're still competing for a playoff spot. We'd rather have a fourth-rounder, which doesn't help us this year, in Aaron Rodgers' prime. To me, the red flags went off, and we said, okay, let's see if the Redskins know better. Turned out in that case, it was a reasonable shot to take.
Yeah,
they did know
the
better.
Deal.
Yeah, I did too at the time.
And a fourth-round pick, in fairness, when you're acquiring it for a veteran, is not nothing. I mean, teams view fourth-round picks as a real asset, a valuable commodity. I get your point, though, and it's the case that I made. They had a chance to make the playoffs, and they said, we're good on Ha Ha Clinton Dix. And everyone in Green Bay basically said, yeah, you can have him.
Goodbye.
And in Washington, he didn't play any better than he had there. In fact, he was much better with the Packers last year statistically. All three of his picks, same number of pass breakups and fewer games than he was here in D.C. with the Redskins. Double play next, blitz at noon. In the 1 o'clock hour today, Landon Collins is on the show at 1:20. Brett Connolly of the Capitals at 1:35 right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Collins will be on 106.7 The Fan at 1:20. Tell them to tune in. That's how we make this whole thing work. I want to get into Major League Baseball rule changes that could be coming down the pike by way of the Atlantic League of Professional Baseball serving as a training ground for some new rule implementation.
An incubator for rules adjustments.
I don't know if today is the day we do that or not, with NFL free agency still hot and heavy, but it is in the queue. So for those of you who listen and love baseball banter and the Nationals, just know that that is not far off. Also, did you see yesterday that Lamar Jackson posted on Instagram while driving 105 miles an hour in his car without his seatbelt on, taking a video of his dash that showed all of these things? Did you see any of that?
I did not.
This was Hall of Fame dumb. Now, here's where I'm
going to...
The end of this story is actually me going to be giving him a lot of credit, which you'll be surprised by. But
for being able to navigate and video at the same time?
No, not that.
Okay.
So it looks like, I'm guessing he's in Florida. You know when we're driving around in spring training or something and all the highways are just, everyone's going 90 miles an hour and everyone's cool with it? That's my guess. He could have been anywhere. I have no idea. But he's in his car, and I think he was Instagramming because he wanted to show off his bracelet. He had like a really nice bracelet, it looked like.
Okay.
So he's just kind of recording his bracelet / radio and dash, singing along to some song. And initially, he's like in the 80s, miles an hour, whatever. But you could see that he's accelerating, and there's cars he's going past. And eventually, TMZ had this video, shocker. The speedometer gets up to 105 miles per hour.
Oh, good heavens.
I've never in my life driven that fast, ever. I never will. I think it's petrifying to think about. But I certainly wouldn't be on my phone recording the dashboard while I'm doing it. And the best part of the whole video, or the worst part, I guess I should say, if I'm not being a jerk, the ironic portion of this, on his dash, while it says 105, he's got a seatbelt light on, saying that he's not wearing his seatbelt.
I don't know things. Could he be, like, in legal trouble for that? There's a lot you're not supposed to be doing there in one Instagram video.
I don't know if a cop's going to give you a speeding ticket because there's a video that you're going 105, not wearing a seatbelt, with your phone on in your car.
Some pretty good documentation. You're on your phone, you're not supposed to be. You're going 105, you're not supposed
that?
To. Isn't that a great way to prove that he was doing it?
You can prove that he
right?
was doing it.
I don't know.
In other words, like, I don't think a cop can show up at your house and be like, hey, saw that video of you going 75 and a 50 yesterday. Here's a ticket. I feel like that's kind of a catch me red-handed or I got away with it thing.
I'm out of my depth.
It would also be a waste of time for a cop to go give him a ticket.
Right. A cop, no one should be showing up to his house, but couldn't somebody send some local municipality just has a quick form letter that they just put the address of Lamar Jackson, if he's registered in general, and say, hey, by the way, we saw you did this. Please pay us a couple $1,000s.
Maybe. I don't know. My thought on it was just leader of men, quarterback of my team, CEO of my operation. So many questions about judgment. So many questions about, really, this is the guy that's going to lead 52 people in my building and dozens of other staffers. I'm the most sure. It's just another reason to kind of question him as the guy to build the whole thing around.
Not a great look, man.
Here is what I will give him credit for. I told you this will end with me being pro Lamar Jackson. I actually loved this. He tweeted out yesterday after this video came out and everyone was killing him online. Very succinctly. I made a bad decision and will set a better example going forward. My apologies.
Oh, good for you.
I actually really like that way of handling it.
A lot
of guys would ignore it and let it go away. A lot of guys might say, the seatbelt was on, the
Leave
light,
me alone
whatever.
Or something, yeah.
A lot of people would say, let me live my life, dog. He came out and said, I made a bad decision. I'm going to set a better example in the future, and I'm sorry.
That is good. What I like then is what's next.
I agree.
What's next? Because I like contrition when you've done something wrong. I'm a fan of that. I try to live that way as well. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's, like, he's a grown man. He's not like my kid. But what we tell our child, apologies are very nice. It lets us know that you know you did something wrong. What we got to get to, though, is you not doing the wrong thing. That's our next step, right? When you hit dad, it hurts. And you say, sorry, that's very nice. Let's not hit dad. Let's not take that left fist and jab dad right in the Greek warrior testicles. Let's not do that. Let's figure out a way to avoid that.
Why is that happening? Why is he doing that?
Because he's a five-year-old. He doesn't know how to act. Again, very different than Lamar Jackson. I'm not comparing him. I'm not saying he's like my kid and everyone get upset.
I think this is the last time we'll see a video like this from Lamar Jackson.
This is my hope.
But let's stay out of trouble and let's stay on the straight and narrow here. You got a lot of people counting on you, buddy.
Here.
It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
It's National Pi Day because it's pi 3.14159. I forget the rest after that, but it's how you make like circumferences and radii, radiuses. I don't know. But it got me thinking about pi. Grant does not like pi, which again is should always be held against him when these conversations come up. Although you have had two pies that you enjoyed, didn't you?
I did like randomly accidentally have some pie in the last year or so.
We forced you to have a pie at Joe Stone Crab.
Yeah.
And you ate it and admitted that it was delicious. And then you had an Oreo pie situation.
That was what, Boston cream pie?
Wasn't it a chocolate cream pie, you guys? Do you remember at Joe's? It was a Boston cream? Okay.
Yeah,
I thought it was chocolate involved in order to get him in.
No,
but
the
maybe
chocolate
not.
One was like some chocolate Oreo pie that I had on my own time.
But in honor of that, I have ranked my top five pies. My top five pies. I'm at Funny Danny. I'm now accepting ats, and I'm sure I'll get ratioed all to death because everyone's very upset whenever you rank something, and their weird thing is not included. Like someone's going to tweet me mincemeat pie, which is incorrect, or sweet potato pie, which again also is incorrect. But here are my top five pies. Number one, peanut butter pie. It is involved with peanut butter. You've got chocolate. You're going to have some cream cheese in there to give it that cheesecake-like feel. It's delicious. It's unparalleled. It's the number one seed.
It's a wonderful pie.
It's a terrific, terrific pie, believe me. Okay, it's like a Skippy or a Jif. Number two, turtle pie. Similar vein, chocolate, caramel, combo. If you get a pretzel crust in there, you're doing all right. Number three, you see a theme here. There's a lot of chocolate involved in my pies. Mississippi mud pie. Southerners know about that Mississippi mud pie. Tell y'all what. It's delicious. That's awesome. Number four is a peach cobbler, and it caused controversy here in the room because people are telling me that cobblers are not pies. My point is,
cobbler's not a pie.
It's in the pie family. Pie crust is involved, even if it's just crumbled pie crust on top of the cobbler. It's not a cake. It's not a cookie. It's a pie. Peach cobbler to me still pie enough to be on my pie rankings.
I'm just Googling, is cobbler a pie? Cobbler is a cake.
Cobbler's a cake?
Bread-like food made from a dough or batter that is usually fried or baked in small flat shapes.
And I'm going to have to.
It's often unleavened.
Unleavened, yes.
Unleavened. Cobbler, a deep dish fruit pie with a thick top crust. Crumble, a baked dessert.
It says pie right in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the giveaway is that it's a cobbler and not a pie.
But you know the difference between a cobbler and a pie.
Yeah.
I do. One way to differentiate.
Cobbler doesn't have a pie crust.
There's no pie crust.
Or the bottom.
But the crust is what's crumbled on top. That's where your crust is.
Like Dutch apple pies have crust on top.
Dutch apple pies.
Yeah, it's a Dutch pie. Yeah.
One way to differentiate between pie and cobbler?
Uh-huh.
Through the crust. Pies are encased in pastry, mm-hmm. either just on the bottom or on the top and the bottom. Cobblers, on the other hand, are simply topped with some sort of baked pastry or dough.
So what I'll do then, because I'm such a believer in the peach, I'll just call it peach pie. If you're going to make me do that, that's fine. I'll eradicate the cobbler because the peach, it pummels cherry because cherry's too oversweet. That's for children. Strawberry pie, pretty good. Doesn't approach the peach. I will take it over pumpkin pie. I'll take it over other fruits. Blueberry tart or a blueberry pie is close, but give me the peach. It just cooks the right way.
I'm guessing a tart isn't a pie because it's a tart.
Well, because it is a tart. I'm saying I'll take it over blueberry or cherry or the others. Peach is awesome.
I just Googled, is a tart a pie?
And it's not, right?
It is not a pie.
Number five is grasshopper pie. Grasshopper pie, which they call it grasshopper because it looks green.
That sounds made up, I'm going to be honest.
No, it's a thing. It is basically chocolate and mint in a delicious pie combo. Because, again, you're probably talking about either an Oreo crust, graham cracker crust. I've even had a grasshopper pie with pretzel crust, which is a little bit salty to it. That was just delightful. That is my five once again. peanut butter pie, turtle pie, Mississippi mud pie, peach pie, and grasshopper pie.
And also cobbler and tart.
Tie for last, anything with lemon in it. Anything with lemon in it, waste of time. You have wasted your time and ingredients. Well, anything with lemon is dumb.
Well supplemented banter there, Thami, with the song choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Beltway Blitz next on Grant
you don't know
and Danny,
the
teams in town you care the most about.
It's Warrant, by the way. Hey, guys, Stanny Ruya here for my pals at Ted Britt Ford. I want you to have the same experience that I had, which is a couple different times over at Ted Britt Ford. I got two Ted Britt Fords in the repertoire to the layperson. Listen, cobbler may not be a pie, but I know deals, and here are some. $8,500 off the MSRP on a new Ford Edge. I got a Ford Edge. I'm not talking, I don't have a 2019. I think I got a, 16? Because I got my car in late 2016, maybe it was 2017, carried the two. Point is, you can get a new 2019 Ford Edge. The car's awesome. $8,500 off the MSRP. $9,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Explorer all month long at Ted Britt Ford. $8,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Escape or an EcoSport. The choice is yours, Black Sheep style. You got to go see him at Ted Britt Ford, because when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, you get a little something. It's called Ted Britt for Life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage, people. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. They take care of the big stuff, right? Powertrain, transmission, transfer case, drive axle, all that stuff. But then they do little things for you. And the little things where it really adds up. They'll fix your windshield if it chips or cracks, right? Battery replacement every few years, nitro tire fill, and a Virginia inspection. Complimentary all for life. Gotta go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. When you do, tell them what you say.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.